Sometimes, the best parts of festivals are the discussions that surround them, reflections on what we did and heard, anticipation of what's to come, and processing what it all means in relation to our spiritual work. We wanted to help either introduce you to that phenomenon or extend it for you. That's what this is about. I'm Reverend Jana Vende.
And I'm Reverend Michael J. Dane. We're priests of Arnriach Fane and members of Three Cranes Grove ADF in Columbus, Ohio. We're recording these sessions actually live in cars, actually going to festivals and events, so you will hear road noise, turn signals, and navigation prompts, but that's part of what makes it fun.
So, sit back and enjoy Druids
in cars
going to festivals.
This is actually the first conversation we recorded on our way out to the 2018 ADF Trillium Spring Gathering, and we spoke a lot about our altars, particularly focusing on our deity images, various ritual challenges we've created, including the Daily Shrine and the Flame of Hope experiences, how our actions have impacted our children's devotional lives, and the way parenting intersects with our shrine work. So come take this journey with us, and listen in as we head out to one of the classic ADF festivals.
But yeah, I just don't feel the need for deity images.
So you don't feel the need for deity images. I like them, but I don't have a deep connection to them, I suppose. I have a bunch on my altar, obviously.
I have one.
You have one. Which what of?
Poseidon.
We've got a...
No, I have two. I have one for Hestia and one for Poseidon.
I was going to say, you've got the Hestia figure candle that's there. Mine are almost all continental Gaulish gods, because that's what I work with for the most part.
Would you consider them all patrons?
Yeah. They're definitely not all patrons. They are more likely to be acquaintances in some cases, and in other cases, deities that I have found a particular need to work with from time to time. Sequana in particular, she's a healing goddess. And, you know, she's a goddess wearing a crown and riding a duck, so frankly, how could you not have that particular goddess on your altar if you had a choice?
Before you made it, did you have one of Asus?
I did. Kaiser Sereth had sent me one that he had made out of Sculpey or clay or whatever it was many years ago, and it's beautiful. I actually really like it, and I didn't see any need to make one of Asus, who is my patron, because I had that. And then I started making my own statues, and I was like, whatever, I can make one. And it was nice to try and work out the iconography and all that jazz.
Yeah, both of mine are very, very simplistic. I have a seated Hestia, who you wouldn't necessarily know it's anything other than like a seated woman. It has no face, so I really like the deities that don't have faces, because then you've got that, like, when you're slightly entranced, then you can see expressions.
Yeah.
And then my Poseidon is a really, really simple, just iron cast, like, two-dimensional figure holding a trident, and that's it.
It's the Mycenaean? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen those in the past. When I was in Greece, I saw a whole bunch of them.
None of the iconography of the, like, fully fleshed out statues fits. I mean, most of the ones of Poseidon were, he's either an old man with a long beard and a trident, and more like Triton from Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
Like, he's more like that. And a lot of times he is half fish in the statues and iconography, and I'm like,
you don't want a fishy god?
I don't want a fishy god. That's not what I see. That's not who I work with. I work with him both as the wave bringer, but also the earth shaker. And so it's, what need do I have of a fish god when I'm talking about tectonic plates?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, the iconography can often be silly, particularly modern iconography or Renaissance-era iconography that's translated into modern iconography. And it's also not uncommon for copies and fakes to work their way into iconography, or misinterpreted stuff entirely, and that can be complicating in a lot of ways.
I like it to be vague, because then all the different aspects of them you can still see within that statue.
Yeah. I really like having reproductions of archaeological pieces. That's what I like to have as my statues. I also really like modern, well-read interpretations in some cases. But for my personal worship use, if I have something and I didn't make it, or someone that I know pretty well didn't make it, then most likely it's going to be something that, you know, I've gone digging for in the archaeological record to see if I can find something.
I actually find the modern interpretations of things that I like are more written stuff. Like, I have a modern interpretation of the Orphic hymns, where he's taken the spirit of the hymn, translated it, and then rewritten it to be, like, modern poetry.
Yeah.
And I really like those.
Those are good. When it comes to altars, though, I think the thing that, I mean, obviously, we're both ADF druids, so the thing that is most important to me is always going to be the fire, finding a way to get fire onto the altar, whether it's a candle or a...
Yeah, I found that when I was doing the daily shrine challenge, that a lot of people would build shrines with no fire on them, and I couldn't make a shrine that didn't have a candle or something on it. It just didn't feel like any sort of religious representation to me without that fire.
Well, and obviously, I was doing it in conjunction with the Flame of Hope, so everything had a fire on it. It's... finding a way to... In most cases, the altars that I build are built around the flame.
Yeah, so are mine.
More than they are... The flame is kind of an ancillary or a place of sacrifice sort of thing. It's all right there, you know. That flame is sitting at the center, it's burning, it's the focus. And then the statues are decoration for me in a lot of cases. But yeah. I like to have them because I like to have the touchstone, I like to have the remembrance.
Yeah, I don't like a lot of decorations on my altar. I mean, my altar is a working altar, not a shrine.
Yeah.
So I don't feel the need a lot of times for any sort of iconography. And if I'm doing specific work where I'd be calling on that deity or that spirit, then maybe I will add that to the altar for that period of time. But, I mean, my altar typically has Hestia and her flame, and then a bowl for my well with an Omphalos in the well. And Poseidon generally stays on my altar, but that's more because I don't have anywhere else to put him.
That's a valid reason.
Than the fact that I need him on my altar all the time. So.
Yeah. The shrine that I have is large enough, because obviously it used to be a...
Three shelves or something?
I think it was originally built for a television to sit in. So it's in the wall of the bedroom, and it's probably a 3-foot by 3-foot hole in the wall with a flat space behind it. Big enough, certainly deep enough for an old CRT television, or rear projection television maybe even. But it was big. So I have both the shrine and the working area there.
That's funny that we both have previous appliances as our altars, because mine used to be a microwave shelf.
Yep.
And I remember when we were looking at the house, and I was like, man, that's the perfect spot for my altar.
Which is the exact same thought that I had when I walked into the bedroom. I'm like, oh, hey, look, there's a really big altar space. It didn't even occur to me that it was a...
That it was
television
meant to be used for something else, yeah.
Though, honestly, the fact that it was a television space for a while is pretty awesome, because it's got power.
That is nice. Mine has a hole in it for you to, like, run a cord down.
Yeah. I can actually plug in directly in the back. So if I'm at my altar recording for anything, I can toss a camera in the back, plug it into power, and not have to worry about it shutting off, say, battery or something like that.
Mine is not that deep. I wouldn't be able to do that.
Yeah. It's a nice perk, frankly. And it's big enough, too, that if I put a camera on the altar, I can angle the other cameras away from that camera and it doesn't end up in the shot, which is also really nice. So that's just part of my practice too, is the filming of stuff here and there.
Making useful materials for other people.
Making useful materials for other people, yes. So when I look at the statues on the altar, I see mostly decoration and a spot for veneration. That's kind of how I view that. Obviously, it's not, if they're not on the altar, they can't be honored there, or if they are on the altar, they have to be honored there. It's just, for me, it's a good visual, and I move it around a lot. Like, I'll pick up Sequoia and move her down front if I want to, you know, do healing work, or pull Breeze and the Matres in, if I need to for other kinds of work. You know, it's just kind of how it is.
Yeah, a lot of times if I'm using the statues in my work, it's either calling on them as allies to do specific magic, or going into that light trance where you see what's in front of you, but you also see, like, the other world in your head, and so being able to project them on top of each other. But most of the time if I'm doing that, I'll take the statue and I'll move it somewhere, because I can't sit at my altar. I stand at my altar. And when I'm doing trance work, I prefer to sit so I don't fall down.
Yeah. My altar is also standable height only. You can't really sit in front of it. But since it's in the bedroom, I can sit on the bed. So that helps.
I mean, I could sit on the kitchen counter.
You could.
But that wouldn't work nearly so well. I do like that my altar is out of reach of my kids.
That is a bonus. My kids are getting tall enough, my son in particular, definitely getting tall enough that he can reach up onto the altar and get stuff. But
yeah, my daughter likes to drag over the step stool and climb up, and luckily she hasn't actually tried to light the fire yet, but she'll definitely demand that we pray, which means mommy light a candle.
Yep, that's what it means with my kid. It's daddy, can we pray, and then we light candles.
Yep.
And it's interesting, that particular dynamic with the kids. They don't understand prayers as words in the same way that I did when I was a kid. I understood it as, you know, you fold your hands together a certain way, and then you say certain words, and they're addressed to a certain being.
You know, that's interesting to think about, though, because growing up, when you think there's a specific position for prayer.
Yeah.
But we kind of have that same thing, where it's a specific action that you're doing.
Yep.
Which fits well with, you know, Druidry being orthopraxic and all that.
Yep.
So.
It's interesting to watch that progression. But yeah. And, I mean, my kids have their own spirit figures, too. Because when they were born, we carved them up the changeling banes, the things that keep changelings and fairies away and keep them from stealing them. And so they have their own spirit images that they hold tight to sometimes at night, or they sit in their window and look over them. At some point, I'll need to get them their own altars, I think. We're there.
Yeah, I'm thinking that for my daughter's birthday this year, she'll be turning 5, I'm thinking one of the things we want to get her is an altar of her own that she can keep and maintain. Because right now she has a small shelf that's hers, but she can't reach it without help. Which worked well when she was younger, because that way she could come up to it and pray with me.
Yeah.
But I think she's ready to have her own where she can do... She can learn ritual through play, I think, is where she's at.
Thanks for listening, and there's more to come.
We welcome your ideas and questions. If there's something that you'd like to hear us discuss in a future episode, please drop us a line at druidsincars@threecranes.org.
If you would like to donate, you can do so at threecranes.org/donate.
Druids in Cars Going to Festivals is a production of Three Cranes Grove ADF in Columbus, Ohio. Learn more about our grove at threecranes.org and more about Druidry at ADF.org.
As always, keep circulating the tapes and let us pray with a good faith.